Welcome to Betting 360, your number one source for horse racing and sports betting insights. Coming around the bend is your host, David Duffield, with another expert interview to give you the winning edge.
Hi, this is David Duffield, and welcome to another episode of the Betting 360 podcast. Thankfully, we've got some TV coverage for the World T20 tournament. Obviously, it's a massively growing part of the cricket landscape, so it's great to have that coverage beam straight into Australia. So we always look at things from a betting perspective. Let's have a chat with Matt about the T20 World Cup and some suggested bets. Hey, Matt. Thanks for joining us.
G'day, mate.
G'day, mate.
Yeah, you do sound like a local, which is something that you're working on, but the T20 World Cup's kicked off, so tell us what you like about betting on T20 matches.
Oh, I just love the volatility from a personal perspective, trading it on a day-to-day basis. It's pretty straightforward. Well, it's not straightforward, but it's one of those markets where you can get a few things wrong and come out in front, which is always a nice feeling, because if you trade in a soccer market, for instance, if you back a team and the other team scores, that could be game over for you, whereas I'm on a batting team and a couple of wickets fall, there's plenty of scope for me to turn it round, and the markets towards the end of the game, if it's close, are just insane. So from a trading perspective, there's nothing to rival it for me. Cricket-wise, test matches are great and stuff, but from a pure volatility perspective and a volume perspective with liquidity on the biggest tournaments, I'd say T20 internationals are the most profitable medium for me to make money.
And it's not a set strategy either, is it? Every game's different and you approach it differently.
Yeah, exactly. Some people, since I've started doing this, they've asked why I don't tip a lot of money line bets on T20, and it's simply because you can be in front for 90% of the game and then some guy just wanders in at number 9 and smashes a couple of balls out of the ground and you've lost. So it's really, if anybody can make money on the money line markets pretty much in T20, I'd be very surprised. It's really tough to do. But that obviously makes it great for in-play traders.
So over the next 4 weeks, what's your lifestyle dealing with a couple of games each night from India?
It's not the best, I'll be honest. I've had a very good run. Obviously, the Aussie summer's been great to me. And the life of a pro trader is just like this. So you'll have months where it's a great life. You'll start work at 10 in the morning, you'll finish at 6 at night, and then certain times of the year when the cricket moves on, you'll start at 10 at night and finish at 6 in the morning. It's just one of those things. India isn't terrible from a time-wise perspective. The first games, the early games, will start at 8:30, which is great for the casual viewer. So that's pretty much prime time for the early games in Australia. Late games start at 1 in the morning and finish at about 4:30. So it could be better, but it could be worse. If they started at, say, 10:30 and ran until 8 in the morning, that'd basically write my entire day off the following day. Yeah, it's not too bad. In terms of champion picks, it'll be pretty consistent like it was with the Big Bash. I will finish work at 4 or 5 in the morning, sleep, get up at lunchtime, look through the day's games. There's usually two every day. There's a few days where there's one, but it's pretty much two most days. I'll write the previews for those. They'll go out to members early evening. And then 8 o'clock will roll round and I'll crack on again another day.
One of the beauties of a tournament like this is there's a lot of interest, there are a lot of betting options, but it's quite difficult for the bookies. They don't have large teams for doing the pricing, it seems, and there's a fair bit of copying and pasting going on. But there's also a few market mistakes, and you know, just as one example, you might want to talk about the South African batsman that was put down as a bowler.
Yeah, let's see if it's still there. So Crown Bet had a market. They got them up quite fast, to be fair to them, which is a lot better than a lot of the bookies do. But their top team, yeah, is still there. Their top team wicket taker market is fascinating. So it's headed by Tahir and Rabada, who I'll come on to. Tahir is basically the really good spinner for South Africa, and he's the shortest price. And Rabada, we got on at $6.50, and he's been cut to 4. He's going to be an absolute star. Could easily finish top wicket taker for the tournament. But the interesting one is David Miller down the bottom there at $13. So in theory, taking out 7 or 8% of the market. In practice, it's like 150% market, so it's not quite that much. But the boys played 184 T20s, I think. Never taken a wicket, bowled 18 balls in his life. He's a gun batsman, doesn't bowl. And Crown Bet have him $13 for top South African bowler, and as I said to the members earlier, he'd be a bad price at $13,000 because he won't bowl a ball, I wouldn't have thought. So yeah, that's just one example of how bad they are, really.
And so, speaking of the futures bets, there are quite a few that are framed to 140, 50, 60%, but that doesn't stop you from getting involved because there's still mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. So, Rabada's a case in point. Again, pretty standard 120, 130% market. But every single bookie other than Groundbet had him at $4, between $4 and $4.50. Groundbet had him at $6.50, which is just ludicrous. So, even though 90% of the market is a bad value price, there's pretty much always a good value price. On Tuesday afternoon, Ladbrokes' markets came out. I figure they were waiting to see whether Australia got TV coverage, and then they did, so they shoved all their markets out. And to be fair, they got 99% of it right, but Ish Sodhi, the New Zealand spinner, was $9 for top New Zealand wicket taker, which is just, again, ludicrous. He's about a $4 or $5 chance. He will probably play every game just because of the turning decks in India. They don't really have much of a choice. He's a leg spinner. Leg spinners tend to get a lot of wickets as right-handers are trying to hit them over mid-wicket. Should be $5 maybe, and he's $9. That's an excellent value price, but not sure it's still there now, to be honest.
All right, we'll run through the teams then, and we might as well start at the top of the market. And India, they're the hosts and they're the favourites.
Yeah, pretty solid. It's hard to see them not making the semi-finals. They just won the Asia Cup. I beat Bangladesh in the final comfortably. Pretty rock solid in the market, but plenty short enough for a tournament where they're going to have to win, obviously, two knockout games, and they're going to have to win two games in the groups as well. 325, it's one of those prices that you're probably better off backing than laying, but I'm not overly interested in either. I debated a saver on them for our outright markets, but I think I'll still debate it for the next few days, but I think I'll probably just leave them as it is. I'll probably be taking them on in the semis and in the final, just because their weakness is pretty much their lower order hitting, which is where the games are usually won. They have absolute guns at the top with Kohli and Sharma and Dhawan, etc. But if they need 50 or 5, which is very common in T20, you play a bad innings, you make 3 off 6 or something, and then that target becomes very, very tough. So their lower order isn't the best. I'll probably take them on in the knockouts. But yeah, pretty solid price. About the right price they should be, I think.
I don't want to hear right price. I want to hear back or lay, starting with the Saffers. Which way would you go?
Sadly, they're no value right now. Then they're my idea of the winners. But their main problem is that they notoriously choke from winning positions. They were almost $9. They're into $6 now. So the value pretty much is gone, I'd say. I couldn't dream of laying them. I will be against them at short prices in the knockouts as usual, because as they showed in that T20 against Australia at Johannesburg a couple of nights ago, they just find ways to lose. They find ways to get beat, which it's an interesting one in terms of what we've backed, because there were a whole host of teams that I could have backed, or basically everyone from South Africa down. Could have backed, but stuff's changed in the last couple of months, and so we've just stuck with a couple. South Africa, not a back or a lay, sadly. I'm sure we'll get to a value price, but these two are pretty solid, head of the market. Nothing for me at the moment.
All right, I'll put words in your mouth here, but Australia, around about 650 or so, I was thinking you're going to want to be laying them rather than backing them at that price.
Yeah, again, you don't get rich laying 650 shots, but I've just no idea how they can win. Which obviously won't be popular in this country. But if you look at the teams around them, they have a couple of gun seamers and a very good spinner. At least one. India have two. South Africa have Tahir. England have Rashid. The West Indies have Badri. Pakistan, very good bowling side. Australia don't have anybody that I would back to stop an onslaught in the middle overs. And if a team is even 90 for one going into the last 7 or 8 overs, they've just got license to tee off, and you miss your length by a few inches, and that 90 for one becomes 190, 200, and they're not chasing that on dust bowls in India. It's never going to happen. I could look like a right fool in a month if they just waltz home with the trophy, but I would be amazed. I'd have them probably double the price, have them around $11, $12.
if you do look like a right fool, there'll be plenty of people to point it out.
That's the game, man.
Is it interesting, though, tactical, in terms of the tactical side of things, if you were Darren Lehman, you've said to me before that you'd encourage them to go bananas in the first six overs because we've got an extra opener or two and probably some weaknesses after that. So you don't think they'll do that, but that's the way you'd go.
I would love them. That would be incredible if they did that. People my age, 30 and over, will remember when Sri Lanka brought Jayasuriya and a couple of others in, and they changed one-day cricket. They went insanely hard in the first 10 overs, and then they just held on for the rest of it. If Australia picked four openers, they may or may not do. I didn't think they were going to pick Finch, but I couldn't call it now. But they've got Finch, Warner, Khawaja and Watson. If they were to pick all four of those and bat Smith at five and Maxwell at six, they could realistically be 80 for four after six overs, just going utterly bananas and hope to hang on then. So if they say they were 80 for four after six overs, if you bat another eight overs at a run of ball, that's 130 after 14 overs, and then you can manufacture a 170-180 score from there. To me, that's their only real chance. Their openers against pace bowling with a brand new ball on small grounds in India. Yeah, that's exactly what I'd do. I'd tell Khawaja to bat, and I'd tell Watson, Warner, and Finch just go mental. And then you've got Smith to hang on, and Maxwell can hit a few late. Mitchell Marsh, blah blah blah. The problem is that's just not going to happen. People aren't radical enough. They'd be terrified of being 30 for six and everyone laugh at them, but they're not going to win a tournament being 45 for two after six and then 100 for four after 15. It's just not going to happen.
Be interesting to see, but like I said, unlikely. Now, so you're leaning towards a lay of Australia at the current price. The Poms are 850. If you tell me they're a back at that price, might be a few listeners that want to have a chat with you.
No, they're not. Absolutely not. Again, this market 3 months ago was one of the best value markets I thought I'd seen. The West Indies were a bigger price than they are now. England were $13, $14, and they were both really good prices. I wanted to back them both. England, 860, probably a shade short. I mean, they've got some good players. They're a much better T20 team than they are 50-over team. They're a bang average 50-over team. They have some extremely good lower-order hitters. They have Rashid, who was very good in the Big Bash. I worry about Rashid if someone gets on top of him early. His head goes down, he'll have a sulk, and he could go for an awful lot. But they do have that very good leg spinner in the middle overs. He's a lot better than Zampa. No, they're not. They're definitely not a back. They could be a lay again, but you're going to have to... If I was to create a book, I would have zero on India, I'd lay Australia. I'd probably... South Africa's value's gone. I'd lay England. I'd probably be level on New Zealand. A bit on the West Indies, a bit on Pakistan. It's wide open. It really is, because the West Indies now are a shorter price than they were before all their gun players either pulled out or got injured or whatever, which is mental. $16 3 months ago was a brilliant price on the West Indies. $14.50 now is a bad price, I'd say.
Yeah, you might just want to expand on that because a month or so ago, you were saying it might be one of your bigger futures bets that you've ever had based on the talent of the West Indies, but they've self-destructed.
Yeah, sort of. Narayan has... You just don't know what the actual reasons are. His comment in the media was he wasn't comfortable bowling after his action had been changed. He felt like it was too early. Chances are it's something to do with money or who knows. Simmons, the opener, who plays for the Mumbai Indians, is an excellent player. He's out. Gale is very hit or miss. They've got people like Andre Fletcher, Samuels. They're missing... I think they're missing Pollard. They're missing huge amounts of players who... When I wrote down the playing 11 two or three months ago, I couldn't quite believe how good it looked on paper. It was just insane. With Badri and Narayan, and then Bravo and Russell... But yeah, so Darren Bravo's withdrawn, who's Dwayne's little brother who played for the West Indies over here in the summer and who's basically the only shining light for the West Indies. Narayan's out, Pollard's out, Simmons is out. They have people like Jason Holder and Jerome Taylor who are going to play. They're still dangerous, but at the same price as they were, I just can't back them given the people they've lost. at the same price as they were a month ago. It's just like Sullivan Ben's going to play in place of Narayan. That's just not a contest. Sammy's going to play again, probably gun to head. I'd rather back them and lay them at $15, but not a big fan. But yeah, like I say, I was low. I'm already on actually from 3 months ago. Not massive, but a few quid on. And if they'd have had all their players fit, they'd have been my idea of the second favourites for the tournament, and you'd have still got $12 about them, which would have been an absolutely insane price.
Speaking of $12, the Kiwis are around about that mark as we're chatting. Is that which way would you lean at that price?
Probably lean on the back of them. Just again another weird one. McCullum retiring 6 weeks before a World Cup in a format that he's best at. If McCullum was there and they were $11, $10, I'd be all over that. They have a very destructive side. Colin Munro, didn't know much about him. He's come into the team by three and just smashed everyone everywhere. Williamson, we all know about. Guptill, excellent player. Corey Anderson hits it miles. Henry Nichols, not really sure. Ross Taylor, just back from injury. Southie Bolt, good side. Will probably get exposed at the sharp end, but I wouldn't be surprised if they made the semis. Again, wide open. So wide open.
Even the Packies are a chance?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in such a wide open competition, I would take the team with the best bowling. And Pakistan's bowling runs something like Wahab Riaz, Shahid Afridi, Mohammad Irfan, Mohammad Amir, and then you've got people like Wasim and Malik and Nawaz and Hafiz. I don't know whether he can bowl, he's banned and then he's not banned, but they've got extremely good bowling for these conditions. They've got guys that can bowl 90 mile an hour Yorkers. They've got Irfan, who's 7'2", so he'll be coming down from 12 feet. And they've got Afridi, who bowls very, very good leg spin. And three part-time offies and a slow left armer, probably in the 11. So they've got so many options. And when you compare them to, say, New Zealand or Australia, the options that they have, if it's going wrong for Australia, they don't really have anyone to turn to. They basically have medium fast bowlers, Faulkner and Zampa. Whereas if it's going wrong for Pakistan, they have 7 or 8 bowlers in the side.
What about a quick comment on Sri Lanka?
Oh, nah, not for me. They always overperform, but they've lost again. They lost Jai Wardner. They lost Sangakkara. Malinga's injured. Nah, can't have him.
Top run scorer? Got a preference there or something you can tip the boys into?
Let's see if there's any value about still.
Oh, just while you're doing that, so Sharma, Kohli and De Villiers are all around about $10.
Yeah, I've got... So Kohli's a good favourite, Sharma's a good favourite. De Villiers, there's a rumour that he's going to drop down to 3, which makes his price a lot worse. If they bat Amla and De Kock up top and De Villiers bats 3, that $11 isn't a good price. Warner could easily bat 4, that's a bad price. Gale, it's an alright price, I guess, but he's, you know what Gale's like. De Kock, we're on at a fancy price. I think we're on at 25s or something like that. And then your problem with Khawaja and Finch is one of them probably won't play. So obviously, if you take evens on one of them playing, that makes Khawaja's $17 into sort of $8, which looks terrible. Finch into $10 also looks terrible. Stats basically are, you're almost guaranteed an opener to win this. So you can draw a line through a bunch of people. Joe Root, Stephen Smith. We got on Hales, decent price. I'm not convinced he'll win it, but he's an alright price. Amla's an interesting one. If that 26s holds after he's confirmed to open, that'd be a very good price. Dhawan's another interesting one because it's going to open for India. It's more than likely he's going to bat every game. They're going to make the final. Williamson for a place is probably an alright price as well. But the tips that I sent through to the members basically revolved a lot around India and some good value elsewhere, just because in a tournament that's 5 games long or 6 games long or whatever it is, that extra game is huge. So in the IPL, the winning team will play, say, 16 games, and the team that doesn't make the final might play 13 games or 14 games. So it's not that big a deal, but when you're playing 5 or 6 games, that extra game is huge. So I'd be very surprised if top 5 didn't consist of 3 or 4 of the finalists, and India obviously the big favourites to make the final. So, Darwin's an alright price, but Kohli and Sharma are rightful favourites.
All right, so for the top wicket taker, I won't get you to go into too much detail, but is there one standout bet just to put you on the spot?
Not really. Again, Indian seamers, we got $40 about Bumrah and $34 about Neera. They're very good prices. They're double what I can see on the screen right now. Amir is an interesting one, but probably short enough. Ashwin, there was $15 about Ashwin, but I'm not convinced. $8 is a terrible price. Absolutely terrible price. Gun to head, I'd probably say a leg spinner wins it. It's another really open market. I'm not doing very well here with the tips.
No, it's okay. It's early days. We'll actually wrap it up there for now. Hopefully we get a little bit more good luck in this tournament than we did in the Big Bash, which was very profitable, but also things didn't really get the rub of the green, you might say.
That's true. A couple I've written down. I do a millionaire maker pretty much every tournament, which is basically a multi of a bunch of top team batsmen or bowlers that I will do in the next 24 hours, send it through to you and you can stick it in the newsletter. It'll probably be 2,000-3,000, so one shot. But it's well worth doing. I've been close a couple of times before. It'll only cost, $10 to make yourself an awful lot of money, so that'll be worth doing. Shahzad has been confirmed as an opener for Pakistan. He's $5. We bet 365 currently. That's a decent price. And Ladbrokes have my boy Andre Russell at $17, the top West Indies batsman, which probably won't win, but is in the industry we call it a good value loser. It should be probably $8 or $9.
Thanks again for joining us on the show, Matt. Good luck for the tournament and good luck to all the members, because we'll have a number of pre-match bets. So that might be, I know you do like overs for runs and sixes, so it's good to cheer on.
Yeah, especially in India, small ground, big bat. Yeah, it should be a run bet.
Good luck, mate.
Buddies.
Thanks for tuning in to Betting 360. Get more in-depth analysis, tips, and that betting edge by heading over to championpicks.com.au, where you'll find a full transcript of this episode. If you like the show, share us with a fellow punter or drop by iTunes to leave us your thoughts. Betting 360, punting from all angles.